It's now time for Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, as we say good evening to the man, the host. Good evening to Sluggy Dan. How are you doing?
Manners and respect. I am good. My brother, how art thou?
Fantastic, my brother.
Yes, we got a packed show today. We ain't sure how much calls we can get in. You know, today is going to be crazy. But 434-1790. 434-1790. And Ollie will give the WhatsApp number. This is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Today we're talking to some outstanding Barbadians, you know, and the first one we're going to plug caught my attention, Ollie, because of the mission that we are on, you know, and thankfully the Starcom to give me such a used platform to help further push my mission. Came across this page online because of one of our guests. Actually, one of our guests sent the page to us. Let me see what they are doing. I said we have to have a conversation with them, or they really find out why they decided to take this task. I think it's quite admirable, you know what I mean, my civic duty. And especially being someone that was real hard there's, you know, I just think that I try to give back as much as possible now. And when I find people doing the same, Ollie, I will always open up my platform to persons like that. You get me? Always. If it's a business that doing their civic duty, giving back to the community, or helping out the youth, I will always push it. You know what I mean? Only those businesses, because you know my phone is the flood. When they see us, I know your phone is going to go crazy. But only those businesses, all if you can do the honors in your nice radio voice.
Well, thank you, sir. Okay, the Animated Arts Learning Institute, AALI, pronounced as Ally, is powered by Trekvoy Art and Literary Endowment for the Naturally Talented, TALENT, registered charity number 882, and the IDB Lab, the innovative arm of the Inter-American Bank Group. Our goal is to increase training and employment opportunities for youth, including at-risk youth, in the growing animation industry in Barbados. Our programs are delivered through a virtual platform in alignment with the remote workplace environment that characterizes this industry, allowing students to learn through self-paced learning combined with virtual instructor-led training and tutorials.
Yes. Sorry, all they don't go on earphones. Okay, good. So please remember that. Thank you very much. Big ups to Ally. First thing first, we want to know who is representing Ally this evening.
Good evening, Barbados. My name is Jessica Reynolds, and I work in the... Is it okay if I take off my... Yeah. So I work as a project coordinator on the project for Ally.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So again, thanks so much for having us on. We're really excited to open up this opportunity to Bajans. To get involved in like the digital arts, to learn new skills, to impress themselves with their own creativity. And I'm really grateful that you opened up your platform for us to share some more about what we're doing.
Okay, hold on. Turn your earphone too loud? They were too loud for you?
It's very weird listening to myself talk while talking.
So let's make sure you turn it right off
you can get used to it. You can try it again, Melissa.
Problem.
There you go. You can hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, I can hear
Not too loud,
clear.
Right?
Mm-mm. Well, hear yourself freaking you out.
It's a very surreal
okay,
experience.
Okay, snap out of it. You ready? You aren't ready, no. Good. No. Why did Ally decided to take on this task of being a non-profit organization, you know, and offering these services for free? Because obviously it can't be cheap, you know, and it's not an easy undertaking. So why did you all decided, well, we can do this here.
So we, Talent, so we're the team behind Ally. So Talent is a nonprofit. Ally is a registered business. Just to kind of clear up any confusion, because it can get a little confusing. We were talking about Ally and Talent and IDB Lab. And we'd also like to thank our partners at the NCF as well. They've really been instrumental in helping us to bring the project on board. But to answer your question about why we decided to offer the workshops for free, animation, I feel like it's still something that Bajans as a population still got to wrap their heads around. So it's like, when you say animation, you mean like cartoons? Yes, I do mean like cartoons, but you can also use animation in ads and PSAs. Like, there's a whole different set of applications for animation that's really limited by what you want to do with it. But, you know, you can't just tell people, come and learn something that you could do whatever you want, feel like doing with it, and go along with us. So we wanted to give people the opportunity to not just learn about animation, but then also learn on our virtual platform. So with COVID, you know, we kind of got a harsh introduction to remote work and remote learning. So when somebody says, we have some free workshops to let you get accustomed to what remote learning with us is like, we want you to get accustomed to that experience, as opposed to just, we know LAN, we need you to trust us. We don't want to tell you to trust us. We want to give you the opportunity to experience what animation is like, what the platform is like, and make your own opinions from there.
Nice. I love that. I love that. No, you see here, when you spoke about to employment opportunities,
mm-hmm.
Which is what really caught me eye. As you know, it's a major problem, especially among the young ones. Why did the company decide to focus on that, take on that, saying, well, we want to employ more persons? What do you hope to achieve by simply trying to boost employment?
That's a good question. I mean,
you know, we good at it. We good at it here.
I mean, you know, boosting employment numbers in general is always a good thing, so you can't really go wrong there. But for us, the talent team, we is a small group of people, mm-hmm. but we've been employed in animation off and on for the last 10 years.
Mm.
Yeah, so
10 members, years in Barbados.
Yeah, so there are members of the team who still work and live in Barbados, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
There are members of the team who have since gone on to work in Canada, and they work for Canadian entities in the animating itself, and then also in the software that helps you to create animation. So the employment opportunities are a lot more accessible than I think the average Bajan might be aware of.
Listen, wait, right? Ollie, sorry, but I want you to introduce our second guest. Because of the conversation, right? And where the conversation is heading. And you know me, or you know you can pull questions out the bag. And so I think we should really get her in on this conversation as well. Because when it comes to animation, technology, when it comes to employment opportunities, when it comes to Barbadians, you know, she spoke about some working in Canada, which is a great thing, which shows how limitless, you know, how limitless the arts in the world can be, whether it's engineering, whether it's music, whether it is math, whether it is creating something, whether it is innovation, because persons don't realize how all connected, you know, these science is all connected. And that's something we don't realize. So we need our second guest in on this conversation too. Sorry to put it in so early, but I just have to.
That's totally fine. Good afternoon, good evening, yes. Good night, Barbados.
Well, let me tell Barbados just a little bit about you, man.
Yes, please.
Sluggy, you sure have bought some beautiful sights to the studio this evening, sir. Thank you so much. And this young lady's name is Alisa Amor. Mm-hmm. And Alisa Amor is an architeer, a multidisciplinary designer of environmentally conscious, energy efficient, and resilient architecture. Architecture that reflects a deep reverence for nature and our interconnectedness with the world in which we live. With an M engineering on an honors in M engineering?
MEng
in structural engineering and architecture, her dualistic background has fostered a passion for delivering architecture that is in constant pursuit of next level intelligence and optimization through synergistic design.
Mm-hmm.
As an LEED and WELL consultant, she further infuses her designs with consideration for and sensitivity to a human-centric approach. Alisa Amor is also a TED speaker and winner of the TED Idea Search Latin America, a new era where she shared the importance of teasing architectural inspiration from indigenous vernaculars and how learning from the past can help shape a more secure future. In her boutique architectural studio, Studio Amor, she designs with the belief that in our pursuit of one of the most basic human rights, the right to shelter, we should do so while stepping as lightly and as respectfully across our physical and cultural landscapes as we can. Ladies and gentlemen, Barbados, this is Alisa Amor.
Thank you for that.
Yes, good evening, ma'am. Thank you so much for coming this evening with us. Your busy schedule, we really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, please. The first thing that caught me here, when Ollie was reading your bio, she further infuses her designs with consideration for and sensitivity to a human-centric approach. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing that caught me. Like, why is that so important to Miss Amor?
It's important to me because that is the entire point of building.
Go closer. No problem. Sorry, Ollie. Come close to the mic, please. Yes. Go ahead. Don't be shy.
Nah. I think within the professional built environment industry, sometimes people lose sight of the fact that the end user mm-hmm. is one of the most important clients. Not necessarily the person who's funding the project, but the mm-hmm. person that actually needs to live in, you know, that building, or work in that building, or create and play in that building. Mm-hmm. So for me, design is about that human-centric approach, being empathetic and putting myself in the shoes of the end user and ensuring that this is something that I could comfortably hand over to someone and feel secure that I've designed it in such a way that it does no harm to them.
Oh, nice. So were you always this aware when you started this journey? Were you always this aware?
I think I've always been a pretty conscious person. Mm-hmm. Kind, if I would say so.
Yeah, where does that foundation, that grown, comes from?
I was always a little quiet growing mm-hmm. up, very observant. Like I said, pretty empathetic to others, kind of always trying to clue myself into what someone else might be going through, understanding their point of view, their perspective, what they need. And I think that kind of personality trait has really done me justice in doing the work that I do, because I cannot do something without understanding the impact it would have on something else or someone else.
Like that. No, I can bring you in quick, Ali. Right, when you hear Miss Amor says she can't do something without studying the impact it will have on something or someone else. Is that something you consider when you taking these youngsters through these courses and creating these animation? Do you ever study the impact of what they are creating might have?
Yeah, that's a short answer, yes. Because we always want to make sure that it's not just a certain type of person that has wow. access to the training or the ability to tell their stories, because animation as a medium is really mm-hmm. about finding a new way to tell your story.
Find a new way.
Yeah. So it's not just, oh, some highfalutin somebody, they get to do filmmaking or animation or anything like that. So we want to, part of our doing these workshops is also making it more user-friendly, letting people know, like, okay, this is not as intimidating as I might have thought it would be to start with, because you always think, well, I gotta have a big bundle of money, and then, like, if I want to go and study animation, I gotta go and study overseas, and I gotta go and live overseas, and all. So we want to make sure that people who live in Barbados, who love Barbados, who might want to stay in Barbados but still want to pursue their passion in storytelling using the animated medium, that they have that opportunity to do that.
No, whoa, listen, Ollie, these ladies really impressed me this evening. Because I think for me, you know, as a creative, the impact is always so important, man. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just do things callously, you know, we create something. Sometimes you might, but you always gotta be cognizant of what you're doing, and the impact it might have. It could be a building, you know what I mean? The impact the building can have on someone 100 years from now, if it be able to withstand the impact it can have when a hurricane comes. Whether it's allied with animation, you know, we teaching these youngsters to do these things, but we making sure the youngsters taking this and creating the right content, or creating content that can make people feel good, or creating content that could educate someone, or just creating content to entertain, you know what I mean? And not for whatever reasons. So these things are important. It'd be such a used task as a creative, you know, that the average person might not really understand. Because whatever you're doing, it always impacts somebody in some way. Don't care what you do, don't care if you like it. It impacts somebody in some way. So you could best study, you could as well study the impact, and you know what I mean, and having a positive impact. So I love those answers. Now, Miss Amora, I see you championing Barbados a lot.
Always.
Yeah, which is quite admirable, right? Especially, you know, like, because we culture is showing everything. You could show a house or a building now or back in the day, and you could almost tell whether that from that type of village, you know what I mean? Or that's that type of family, whether that family is middle class, or whether that family was poor, or whether that family just come out of slavery only 100 years, you could tell by the type of building, they built, because the how the building look will determine the time. You understand? So it's so much in art, Ollie, right? So me knowing that, obviously, and I ain't no artist, and artists is the artist, but artists ain't nowhere inside none of the history. So they just saying they know from looking at a building. You understand? You can know about my father's house. Looked a little different than my grandfather's house. So my grandfather tell me, well, this house here was a board house in 1950, and we just put it to wall. So all that way, my house looked sore, but my father's house built in 1999. You get me? So it's two completely different things. So me knowing this, obviously you had to study it far deeper level. The history made you want to push our culture so much, or what made you want to keep pushing Barbados? Because a lot of us go out and you can forget, because your own life is getting busy, mm-hmm. and you've got your own life going on. Yeah. You got many things going. You understand, Ali? So yeah. You might not always be constant. You will be put some sort of Barbados in there. So when people purposely do it, you got to salute that. So why is that important to you, ma'am?
Well, firstly, Barbados is with me wherever I go. You can't beat it out of me. And, you know, obviously I studied in the UK, and I think there's this perception, whether warranted or not, that big things or needle shifting things cannot come from Barbados, that you kind of need to rely on extra regional or extra local expertise to define what is innovative or new or world class. And I don't buy it.
I love that.
I don't buy it either.
You know what? Somebody
I
like.
I don't subscribe to that. Do not endorse.
I like that.
Watch me prove you wrong.
I love that.
I don't subscribe.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. I am a friend and I love it. No, yeah. Ali. Mm. Both the business and the non-profit. Mm-hmm. How important community or culture is to you? Because I want you to make sure you plug both businesses, right? Mm-hmm. But I also want for you, and it could be your personal opinion as well. It don't have to be representing the two companies, but I just want to know how important our community and the culture is to you as a business.
It's very important. It's actually part of our constitution as a charity.
For real?
Yeah.
Well,
I could pull it. Well,
nice.
Let me not say that I could pull it up right now. If you give me 5 minutes, I could pull it up.
Nah, we're talking about. No, but it's great that you got in the constitution.
Yeah, but it's part of our mandate for ourselves to help enrich the cultural landscape of Barbados. Mm-hmm. So that's also kind of part of what we want to achieve with the workshop. So it's not just about, yeah, we're holding some workshops, and if you feel like you could come and spend money afterwards, I mean, that'd be great. But more than just the money-making aspect of it, there's also the desire to help Bajans of all walks and people living in Barbados in general understand that creativity is really just problem solving, and you could be creative where you are at.
Ollie, this is not me to plug you, right? And it's always a pleasure when people are so intelligent, you know what I mean? That you could just soak up game, but you say creativity is what?
It's just problem solving.
Shh. Creativity is just problem solving. You got problem solving sound like fun.
It can be. Well, it can be.
Miss Amori shaking your head too. So when I think, and I love where the direction where these conversations going, I must tell you all. But when Ali said creativity is problem solving, and Miss Amori here shaking she head, yes. All they want you to introduce this our special guest on the Zoom, right? Because they can actually this question as well, right? So Miss Amora, where this perception come from that problem solving is not fun, or is saying hard, because she's saying creativity is problem solving. I mean, when they think creativity, they think nothing but fun, good time, you know what I mean? I like exploring. You get me that way? Think where when they think creativity that way thing.
Yeah. But when you're exploring, sometimes you just paint yourself in a corner, you're gonna find your way out.
You're true, you're right.
How you find your way out.
You're right.
Is the problem solving, which is also the creativity.
Yeah, go ahead, you might use two blocks, and might use piece of wood, you might use a ladder. Mm-hmm. You're correct. Go ahead, there's some more.
Add,
sorry.
Let me add something on top of that, because I resonate with that problem solving thing so much.
Yes.
For me, it comes from a place of curiosity. And my background is half foot in technical, half foot in art.
Uh-huh.
And nobody could pin me down because I refuse to, you know, go over to one side or the other.
Do you draw, from both?
I do. And I for me, that. Somebody might ask me, how can you see structural engineering as creative?
Yeah,
because that would
be my question.
In solving the problems. Mm-hmm. There's so many avenues to solve a problem and I get lost in it.
Exactly.
So it could be medicine, it could be philosophy, it could be structural engineering, it could be architecture. To me, it's just a problem to solve. And I enjoy going down the rabbit hole and coming to that resolution at the end. Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's right. After Ollie introduced our guests, right, Ollie? And as soon as you introduce her, because she oversees no part, she booked to her, but as soon as you introduce her, I asking her, Ollie, to respond to that quote by the great company Ally, creativity is just problem solving. I want her to reply to that. And then I'm asking you all, why does it feel so compelling? Why is got you drawing? So you say you might be back into a corner, but then you got to find your way out. And that navigation with me could be real compelling, you know, it could be addictive. They need to answer all, why is it so addictive, this creative process, and how can we better use it? You understand? But thank you, Ollie.
Okay. Safia Kamaria Kinshasa is a British-born Barbadian-raised poet, dancer, choreographer, and researcher whose exhilarating style of poetics is a force to be reckoned with. Her interdisciplinary art braids dance and poetry on the page and stage. She is also a PhD student in cultural studies. Safia's first spoken word encounter happened by chance in 2017 at a poetry slam called Milk Poetry in Bristol, hosted by Malaika Kegodi. Safia was dared to perform after a poet did not show up. She performed a freestyle and the host encouraged her to continue. Safia was at first reluctant, but soon discovered poetry could bridge her passion for cultural studies and dance. Mm-hmm. In 2018, when studying poetic form, Safia encountered challenges unique to her neurodiversity. To overcome her obstacles, she began using dance to develop her own initiative frameworks to write, create choreography, and unearth lost narratives. Safia is now developing a new technique, and her groundbreaking work is currently being used to write her first poetry collection to be published by Outspoken Press in 2022. It will explore her Barbadian heritage through the voices of powerful women. She is currently in partnership with the Barbados Museum and Historical Society. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Safia Kamaria Kinshasa.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you, though?
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you for having me. I am very good, thank you. I'm currently at the beginning of a book tour. So the book that you heard about, King Kong and Gully, has of course now been published. I'm currently in New York at the moment, but it is fantastic to be here and to be hearing the conversations that are going on. So I've been listening intensely to the discussions.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. And I love that name, by the way. Book called Cane, Corn, and Gully. I love that. When you hear Miss Amor share the sentiments by Ally, that creativity is just problem solving. The reason why told Ollie to call in, because I remember having a conversation with you, and you speaking about dance and the history of dance, especially between Barbadian women, and you spoke about challenges you face and how you use creativity, you understand, which is dance, expression, poetry, to overcome some of those challenges. So I just wanted to ask you to reply to that statement, that creativity is problem solving. How is creativity problem solving to you, and why is it such a good way to solve problems? Thanks for coming on.
No problem. So just to give a little story as to how I got into my collection, because I think that answers the question perfectly. So when I first discovered that there were no voices of enslaved women from Barbados, there was barely any voices of enslaved people at all throughout the West Indies. So we, you know, maybe an odd few here and there, you know, in America, but it, you know, an absolute fact. None, right? So I decided that, you know, when I saw the enslaved being described by colonialists, so of course underneath the veil of racism, so I had to really dig deep and make sure that all of the disgusting, horrendous words were removed when our people were being described. I had to dig deep and look at the descriptions of the dances only. So what I did was I said, okay, if I can note and revive every single description of movement of enslaved people, I might be able to revive our voices. So I might be able to bring those dances to life. And then, you know, through these movements, through these dances, I can tell the true story of these people. So what happened was, when I started doing that, I realized even when the slave master described a beautiful enslaved woman in Barbados moving in a graceful, elegant way, he might say that this woman is aggressive and vicious. But I'm looking at her movement and I'm thinking, okay, so you just told a lie. And my problem is that the historians have been using what the colonialists have said, not historians in Barbados, I'm talking about British historians, right? And they're saying, okay, well, now we can tell these stereotypes about Black women. Like, you know, for the last 400 years, yes, Black women are vulgar, Black women are vicious. But if we look at the movement, no, that is not the truth. And every time we might get a narrative about, okay, so this Black woman was feisty, she was angry. Well, let's look at the movements. Let's look at what was actually happening in the dance, in the body. And there was this one time where a slave master was talking about a Black woman very crudely. And the movements were, she was holding her child. She was holding her child and dancing with her child. But yet the movement was not written about. It was only what the slave master said. So through movement, we have the truth. And our movements are not just dancing. It's prayer. It's speech. It's discussions. You know, our movements are, you know, when you're in a fete, when you're dancing, you're having a conversation. You're not talking. You're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. You're having a conversation with the artist. You're having a conversation with your culture. You're having a conversation with the people around you. Have you ever danced at a fete? You're not saying one word, but you're all moving together. You're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. That is what we are doing. And the only people who can understand our culture are the people who are within it. And we were never asked. People were writing about us, but they never bothered to ask our opinion. So that is why I did what I did. And so going back to the problem solving, I solved the problem of there not being, people kept telling me, well, there were no voices. And I said, there are voices, but the reason why you have not seen them yet is because you never asked anybody that the voices were about. Mm-hmm. You never bothered to ask. And people are like, well, Safia, you're the first one to do this. Well, there would have been more. There were only like, the British Library just released documents from Barbados. 2 years ago, mm-hmm. They had all these documents about Barbados. The Barbadians didn't even have them. They weren't in Barbados. So the British had these documents about Barbados, about the slave trade in Barbados. And they said, oh, we just discovered them. You knew you had them for the longest time. So when I went to see them, I was one of the first people that got to see it. Mm-hmm. I saw all these documents, all these letters from slave traders, slave masters, etc. You know, and I'm thinking, so all of the stereotypes, you know, all of the things about, when you hear stereotypes about lazy West Indian, and I'm like, oh wow, this is where it came from. But you know, you're lying. You're saying that, oh, okay, you know, you just discovered it. You never bothered to show us these documents before, right? You never bothered to ask our opinion. So when we use creativity, you know, we call it creativity, but creativity really is embedded in our DNA. We are a people who use the arts as a means of expression. We use the arts within our sciences. We use the arts within, you know, our ancient techniques. They incorporated the arts anyway. Mm-hmm. If we look at how people used to calculate, how to, you know, how people did astronomy, you know, there was an artistic practice within that. You know, I would say that we don't necessarily need to divide the arts and sciences, etc. You'll find that most intelligent people have an essence of creativity within them. It is natural to us to be creative. So yes, so do we problem solving, creativity is an answer to problem solving. And but for also for the artists who are listening, sometimes creativity is just about having a conversation, and you don't always need to solve a problem when you are being creative. So creativity can be used to solve a problem, but creativity can just be for just feeling a sense of catharsis, or mm-hmm. At least appreciating the culture, appreciating what you have. So sometimes when I write a poem, I'm not necessarily trying to find the answer. I'm just trying to enjoy the exploration, and that is enough. Yeah, that is enough. You know, when we talk about problem solving, I mean, well, we as a people, we're usually the ones who have to solve every single problem. That's another thing that I've noticed. It's true. We're usually the ones who have to solve the I know that, you know, this came up on Good Morning Barbados, and, you know, and I've been called out for it. A lot of British people have had something to say about what I've said and who are watching, but you know, an Englishman can come to Barbados and claim Barbados as his home. You know, a British man has entitlement, but I believe that seeing as Barbadians done help build the economy of the West, we can pretty much go anywhere and do whatever we like. Yes. So we don't need to have the burden of solving every problem. We just do it because we can.
Yeah, we bad, so just do it.
Right.
I absolutely love that. Now, my question to you, Miss Amor. Mm-hmm. You have been involved with TED Talks. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story. I'm gonna try to keep it short.
So TED is typically invite only.
Yeah. Right?
A lot of powerful people in the room, game changers or industry leaders, or quite frankly, people with a lot of zeros in their bank accounts. You know, CEOs of companies like Tesla and Instagram, and you know,
they're the cream of the crop.
They pick pride themselves on that.
Yeah,
the pick of the litter.
Yeah, it really is.
Because it's by picking, right? And they decided to do an open call. So they put out this open call to Latin America. And you know, typically the Caribbean tends to get lumped in with Latin America. We don't typically get our own, you know, region as an opportunity to apply for some of these things. So I saw it. I thought LATAM should be the Caribbean region. So I was curious. I looked through. I was like, okay. So the countries on the list include the Caribbean. That's cool. Yeah. But it's TED. I'm not there in my career yet, you know. And every once in a while, somebody will send me the call and say, you know, I saw this and I thought of you and your work. And I really think you should apply. And I didn't really take it too seriously. I just didn't think I was there yet in my career. And you know, people just keep sending it. So I said, okay, I could just try a thing, right? All I had to do was upload a 2-minute video speaking about the work that I do, the ideas that I have, and the spaces that I'm creating. And I said, worst case, Alyssa, you just learn how to go about a major kind of platform application like this.
Which is a great thing to learn anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I am the kind of person that I would shoot my shot. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get caught up on what's possible or not. I get to a point where I say, run it, and then I would just try, right? Mm-hmm. And the deadline was a Friday. I sit down in my room, you know, I say, okay, well, I could put on to look half decent, you know. What will I say? I didn't even write a script or anything. I was like, we're going to just wing it, you know?
What?
That's the kind of person I am. And I don't even got a tripod. I put my camera propped up on my laptop screen and, you know, I was like, all right, let me talk for 2 minutes about what you do. Mm-hmm. I know what I do, so I felt comfortable to at least talk about it. Watched by the video and it was bad. I was like, you sound like you don't know what you're talking about. You ain't look right. What you're doing with your hair. You know, the typical things you talk down to yourself about. And I left it, so the deadline passed. And then I went and I looked at some of the other videos that people had put up. And professionalism, studio lighting, everything just crisp. And I was like, so that's what it takes, right? So then,
as I'm looking at this, learning experience.
And then as I'm looking at this, it pops up that they extended the deadline to the Monday. Mm-hmm. So a part of me is like, fam, if this isn't a sign to keep just trying to figure this out. So I said, you know, I can call somebody, see what it takes to like have that kind of setup, and I can just do it. So they came, we shot the video in my living room. I pulled, told my mommy potted plants behind me, and we shoot this video and upload it. And, you know, I didn't really think much of it. And then a couple months later, they sent me an email saying, you know, congratulations, you made it to the next round. And the next round ended up being 10 people out of the thousands that entered, having to do like a live interview with people from across the world. And it was one of the toughest interviews I ever had. They asked me a lot of questions, a lot of difficult questions, and then they voted on the spot for who they thought out of the finalists would be, you know, best place to give the TED Talk, and they chose me.
When you got that call, right, and you got into mode, well, I got it now, you know, Ollie, we got it now, we in. What was your main objective? I know, obviously, at first you want to do a good job, so that's a given. You know, you want to represent yourself well. But I mean, apart from that, what message you wanted to make sure you deliver clearly?
Before I even sat down and thought about what I wanted the message to be, I had to, look, I was shadow boxing with imposter syndrome from the school. From the time these people was like, Alyssa Amor, you have been selected to give a TED Talk, I was like, shoot. I'm not expecting this to go this far, you know, but then I had to really sit down and think about the work that I do and the you know, the impact that it has, the potential that it has. And I say, you know what? I'm going to just go there and speak to the people that need to hear my message. And I knew the kind of people that would be in the room. And I said, we might hurt some feelings. We might cause some discomfort, but I'm going to speak from the perspective that no one else in that room can speak from. And obviously, you know, when you think about the discussions that we're having across the globe right now about climate change, and then knowing that you're going to be in a room with people talking about colonizing Mars, and we can't even figure out how to feel safe every year here, I was like, nah, they're going to hear this today. So that's the kind of attitude I went to it with, and it landed.
No, I absolutely love it. And afterwards, you felt satisfied. You felt like I get my message across, mission accomplished.
Yeah, definitely. I think being in that room, it was such a surreal experience, but it was very poignant. People were crying, you know. It was like a needle drop, everybody can hear it type of moment, because you're listening to people talk about some amazing, everybody in the room is smart, number one. They say, Alyssa, Amara, we don't care how smart you are. We just want you to go up there and speak from your perspective, because no one else here can tell this story, right? So as I'm speaking, as I'm delivering this message, I can visibly see people crying. You know, so I'm trying to share what I have to share. I'm trying to tell the story of Barbados and slavery and how innovative the concept of a chapel house is. And speaking to what Safiya said just now, when I had to write the script about 20-something times. TED is an organization that prides itself on being factual, legally set. You can't just go up there and say anything. The amount of fact checking, the amount of rewriting that I had to go through was crazy. And when I was looking for images to put into my delivery, I had to pay for those from the British archives. As she said, they hold so much information. So all of the Charterhouse images, we actually had to pay for those to be able to use them, you know?
From
the British National Archives.
Listen, this is 20, Safiya, listen to me, right? This is 2023, Ollie, right? And Ollie here quite perplexed. This is the reason why we need creatives, whether you're an engineer, Mr. Moore, whether you dealing in animation, the Ally, whether it's me on radio or music, where my qualification studies are in, whether it's Safiya dance and poetry. This is where you need the arts, and this is where you need creatives, because I didn't know that is still a thing. So if you didn't just mention that on radio, they want you all to hear this. 434-1790. I want to know how Barbados feel about this. You said that this is lately, or you talking about 20 years ago?
This is last year. But let me tell you something on top of that. Outside of Britain, we have the largest records of slave history in the world.
Barbados?
Right here in Barbados, but you didn't know that?
Can you explain that a bit more?
Think of the geographic location of Barbados throughout history, and the critical role we've had in the slave trade as that first port of call between Europe, Africa, and the Western world. Almost, I don't want to say everyone,
but the majority
of black people came through Barbados first, before they were distributed across South America, North America, and the rest of the Caribbean region. So those annals of history, those records, we have the largest database outside of England in the world. Powerful, right?
Very.
Very powerful. So my whole thing is, we have this identity that was forced upon us as a social experiment. Mm-hmm. So how do we now have an exercise of placemaking and re-identifying and re-leveraging the things that were used before, mm-hmm. and reframe what that means for us? And a lot of my work is about proving the fact that Barbados is a hub of innovation and a launch pad for solutions that can affect the world globally. We've done it before. We can do it again.
We can continue to do it, yeah.
Yeah, no, listen to me. The largest database in the world, Ollie, the largest. And she's correct. Mm-hmm. In terms of our location, our geographical location. You know, like, that is a fact. But I've never studied our location, you know what I mean?
The history of it. Let me ask you something else. Go ahead. You're saying that. Did you know that there are certain places on Earth that are cheaper to launch satellites into orbit based on the fact that they're close to the equator and require mm-hmm. less effort and
yeah.
fuel to
put? Yeah, yeah.
Barbados mm-hmm. is one of those places.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're close to the equator and there's nothing to the east of us but Africa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when missiles are launched, all of the debris that falls, it doesn't have anywhere else to fall but in the ocean. Mm-hmm. There's no landmass or civilian casualties to account for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you will see stuff like the Harp Gun
mm-hmm.
being mm-hmm. based here. There's so many unique things about Barbados. Even the fact that there's nowhere else on Earth that was pushed from the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that...
You know?
Listen.
It's such a powerful... I don't know if everyone acknowledges or truly appreciates how unique mm-hmm. Barbados is mm-hmm. geologically
mm-hmm.
and geographically.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of those things happening, you can tell me that we can just be amazing.
Yeah.
Like every citizen that is from this place
yeah.
cannot impact the wider world.
Yeah, no, is and that's deep. I remember having a conversation with my granddad. And biggest to everyone tune in. We're going to 7:45 today. You know, we're supposed to go to 7:30, but because of the great conversation, we get extra time. Sapphire, allow me to bring you in, please. Please, when you hear about the uniqueness of Barbados, did any of that contribute to why you name your book Ken, Corn, and Gully? Because those things are quite unique as well.
Absolutely. I think I was very fortunate to have been raised in Barbados and to have so much Barbadian pride instilled in me, especially from my grandparents. So I think that one. So okay. So when we think about all the discussions that I usually had when people talk about the slave trade, Barbados is usually left out of the conversation. America is talked about first. It's always America. Haiti always gets a shout out. Jamaica, Jamaicans are always referred to as the badly behaved ones. And then Barbados is unfortunately known. What was the slogan? I was told in England of all places that Barbados is full of the well behaved slaves, and you know, so the erasure of our history, little England. You know, the propaganda that was used. Yeah, the propaganda that was used, and I think, the propaganda.
Listen, me, right? That's not a compliment at all.
No, it's not a compliment, but it's also. It is a huge insult, but what disturbed me even more was the amount of, and I will say just West Indians in general, that I spoke to and from listening to various archives who also actually believed these lies too. So passed down through generations. So so that is where I'm starting.
Yeah.
And that was also always the stereotype that I wanted to break because the lived experience and these fairy tales, which I will call them, did not add up. And of course, knowing our history, we know that with the three largest rebellions, the first was in Barbados. We know this from, of course, Bussa, right? So our hero. So I had to constantly persist in trying to find the truth regarding what happened. And we do still have, so our wonderful historians, you know, we do still have true narratives regarding our history. And a great historian called Hilary Beckles has unearthed some of that. So we know that Barbadians were incredibly rebellious. We know this. We know that in every enslaved community had rebellion at their core. There is no such thing as a perfect slave or whatever other slogan was used. I'm sorry, that's a heinous thing to say. And what I wanted to do, Cain, Corn and Gully, that title, it kind of, I see people in England and throughout Europe, and when I give them that title, it evokes a sense of fear, like, oh, this isn't necessarily, we were expecting your title to be called Paradise, you know, Cocktails on the Beach. Like, no, Cain, Corn and Gully. I want people to know that even though Barbados has, you know, the terrain isn't necessarily the same as Jamaica, and, you know, people will use this excuse to say, well, actually, that's why Bajans didn't run away. No. There was such a thing as runaway slaves in Barbados. The gullies represent the place of escape. You know, it's a terrain where horses were not able. Yeah, horses right.
That's something you know for sure. Because he raised it around gullies. And my grandfather always says, see, down there? Down there is where river used to run and get rid of them coming down there. The only way they could have gotten us is if the same one we.
Absolutely. Yeah, so absolutely. So
what you're saying is something that actually passed down to me from my family, this exact story.
Absolutely. So that is what the gully in that title represents. Yeah. So we have cane, and of course we have our sugarcane crop, but that also talks about the labor that's referring to the persistence, the perseverance within the Bajan community, and then corn referring to domesticity. So I specifically use the voices of women in the collection, but the stories that I uncovered where you have women rebelling against their slave masters, resisting rape, you have poisoning slave masters, which isn't commonly told. So how the women would poison their slave masters using various ingredients from the land.
Which needs to be spoken about for sure. So I'm glad you mentioned that. We can't just... People just think that Barbadian women, especially these black women, you know, from all through slavery times to now, you know, brought us here, think the women just come, you know, all these soft, no. Had black Barbadian women that was poisoning slave masters galore. They won't tell these stories, but these things you are seeing, like all Barbadians will tell you these things. All these the women will cut for them. Mm-hmm. Are you beat my husband? Are you kill my children? Poison him. Sacrifice herself. These are things that black Barbadian women did, be for families and communities.
Absolutely.
So it's absolutely quite admirable for you to take on a story like that, because it haven't been told. King Corn and Gully.
Thank you.
Are you speaking about the corn being domestic?
Corn, but also a means of survival as a staple of Bajan food. There is also this incredible story where an enslaved person basically committed suicide, and the slave master did chopped up the body and put the body on display for the rest of the enslaved people on the plantation. And the enslaved master said, well, if any of you commit this crime, because it was a crime to it was also a crime to cut yourself or create marks on your body, so which would devalue you for auction. If any of you were to do this or to carry out this action, then we will ensure that, because there was this belief that, okay, well, if you have your you know, if your full body is intact, then you might be able to enter paradise. And because the slave master chopped off the head of the person who committed suicide, it sent a message to say that, okay, well, they will go and meet their ancestors without a head. So the slave master knew that the enslaved community wanted to return home. They wanted to see the people that they had been stolen from. So the slave master said, right, I'm going to cut up this person who basically committed suicide. So the enslaved was so, of course, distraught about this. They decided to not commit this act. So when I hear people saying, well, why didn't the Bajans just run? You know, there were a group of enslaved people who committed suicide off the coast of Africa, and da, 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 da. And everybody has a reason for why various enslaved communities didn't do certain things, because they heard a story in one history book or one history book. But what people don't do is they don't bother to do the research on every single island, every single parish, every single village has its own unique story. And here we have a community in Barbados who are basically having to choose between giving up themselves or suffering their beliefs in eternity without being able to visit the people that they had obviously were forced to leave behind. So when I read these stories and I think about the narratives that are constantly being replayed, I'm incredibly angered, because I wish the right people would be asked to do the research, so we didn't have this negative shadow over our own history. So Barbadians were incredibly resilient, and also there were many Barbadians in this enslaved community that I am referring to who decided to live so they could have children. So actually, sometimes an act of rebellion is living itself, right? So I mean, there were many acts of rebellion, and that's what King Conan Gully is about. If it's killing a slave master, if it's living one more day to make sure your child can eat, and there's also a woman in the book who says, I didn't run away. I didn't run away because I had children. And I wanted to make sure my children were okay. So when people say things like, oh, well, Bajans, Jamaicans ran away, they went to the hills, they're Maroons, and Bajans didn't run. Well, some Bajan women decided not to run. They could have. They decided not to run because they wanted to stay and ensure that their families were okay. You're not talking about, you know how difficult it would be for, back in these times, what 50 people to just run from. So where are we? We're St. Philip all the way to St. Michael to a port in St. Michael. Like, okay, really? So I want people to think when they make these flippant comments about Barbados. So that is something I've been challenging in England when I give people these stories, or New York. So recently I share these stories with people and I say, look, this is the truth. And people look at me like, oh, it's not just Jamaicans. It's not just Haitians. Because they don't know Bussa. They don't know the story about Bussa. It's not common, right? It's not common. So
the story of Bussa is not common in England, you're saying?
Nope. Not at all. No, not at all.
Would you say
the story of Bussa?
Sorry, yeah. Would you say the average Barbadian who lives in England, maybe not born in Barbados, maybe Barbadian by descent, they probably don't know about Bussa either?
They do. They do. They will know the story about Bussa. So just to quickly break this down, Barbadians in England or Barbadian descendants in England, you're looking at, so in the 50s, so we're looking at after the Second World War, Barbadians were invited to England because apparently the streets were paved with gold, which of course they are not. Barbadian streets are paved with gold, not British. To the Barbadians, various West Indians were invited to England to restore England after World War II. Many stayed, had children. I'm the grandchild of that generation, And it is their children who many of them are, would call themselves Black British, but they are descendants of Barbados, but it would be, have been their parents. So I'm third generation. So second generation, they would have heard the stories of Bassa. So the communities were very dedicated to sharing their history. So you have a lot of Saturday schools that were set up, because we are also dealing with intense amounts of racism in England. And West Indians were treated despicably in England, including Barbadians and Barbadian descendants. So Saturday schools were set up where we would learn our history. And I was fortunate enough to be able to be raised in Barbados as well. But yeah, so I would like to say that even though, yes, the accent is all over the place and whatever, there are Barbadians in England who, Barbadian descendants, returning nationals who do know their history or appreciate Barbados very much. So, you know, when I hear things like, okay, well, you're not Bajan enough, and, you know, what do you know about Barbados? Well, there are strong ties, and yeah, and just know that, like, Barbadians abroad are suffering. Like, you know, I mean, I was sent a deportation letter myself a few years ago. So,
yeah, well, yeah. I myself am a child of that situation. My dad went in 1962, and he met my mom there. So as we all young people here know, this is the age of knowing. It's the age of knowledge. And there's a lot more information that's coming to the fore that wasn't really available and so much at the forefront in the 70s and 80s. There's a movie that was banned in 1981. Excuse me. It's called Goodbye, Uncle Tom. Have you heard about it or have you seen it?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That was banned. Oh, my gosh. You just reminded me. Yeah, that was banned.
As soon as it was released, it was banned. It was made by some Italians, I believe. And America and Europe banned it immediately. But it's been coming back out, making its rounds. And as I tell people, it makes Roots look like a Disney movie. You know, it's very, very touching, to say the least.
No, my question though, and Ally, when you hear these two great ladies speak about Barbados and, you know, and stories and so on, in your animation, are there any original stories that you've created?
We have worked on some small, well, I say we, members of our team have worked on like a smaller animated project. Yes. I believe it was called Lizzie Goes to Bridgetown, which was about a lizard named Lizzie. Speaking about, I believe, the, oh gosh, what's the name of the statue that just moved?
Nelson.
Thank you. I just blocked that out of my mind.
Yes, good, good. Which is a good thing. You forgetting that I had a statue there?
And no, I remember the statue. I just couldn't remember the name.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Just right out my mind.
You don't need to remember that name.
Yeah, and then there's also the Xana series, which was written by the co-founder of Talent, which kind of talks a bit more about like some Barbadian ecology. So Xana's like a little swamp character that lives in Grimhall Swamp. So the objective behind that project, which was pretty popular, had a lot of book readings in schools and stuff, was introducing children to the concept of being environmentally friendly and conscious of the importance of the environment. And I think the team as a whole, we have been spending so much time over the last 10 or so years working on other people's projects. And I think we really were
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome for real.
Yeah, so we've worked on a lot of
10 years of constantly 10 years consistently working on other projects with other persons. And
yeah, so we've worked on children's series for international brands for YouTube. We've worked on, I think, a couple Cartoon Network series, like season 1 of Rick and Morty, and a couple of other things. So we've worked on like a birthful, different projects from I've recently come to fall back in love with the word birthful.
It's that's such a Bayesian word, right?
Such an underrated word. So, you know, I think given the opportunity, we would also really love to tell these stories like Safiya and Alyssa are talking about. I think Bayesians really do not appreciate how hard Bayesians are. How much there is about Barbados as a country, like the actual physical country, but then also about the people in the country, like how much there is to appreciate in the low 166 square miles. Like, I'm always, as a person, blown away by how much talent, how much different events, and how much stuff is just stuff.
Per capita is crazy.
Sluggy, I don't mean to interrupt you and your guests, but it's 20 minutes before 8. We've got 5 minutes left, and I know Barbadians are eager to get contact information for each of your guests.
No problem.
So before we wrap up, I don't know who wants to go first, but let Barbados know how to contact
you. Ali, give me your socials and your number and
the ages
that allow to do the free courses.
Yeah, so you can find us on social media. So that's Instagram, Facebook, I think Twitter to a lesser extent. But Learn with Ally, A-A-L-I. So that's the social handles. You can also WhatsApp us at 242-0426. Right. And then
just say that number one more time.
242-0426. Yeah. And then for the workshops, our kind of target demographic is 16 to 35. But if you're under 16 or you're over 35, I don't think we really... I don't think we got the heart. The workshops are starting in May.
Cool.
Yeah, but I don't think we kind of a little bit soft-hearted. Yeah. So
what was the number? How much persons?
So we're looking maximum 20 people per workshop.
Well, you shouldn't have announced that on here, girl. I tell you, Ollie, like, you shouldn't have announced that on here, girl. It's going to be crazy. That would announce same point of view, be. And my phone would go off like in 6 minutes. I exaggerate. Were like,
I don't know that.
You get the same messages. So it's starting in May.
Yes, please.
When May come, girl. 20.
Yes.
So what would it take for y'all to hold more? What do y'all need so you could hold 40?
Well, we would need to hold 40.
I didn't mean to answer half my ear, but I put him on the spot. Cause you know, if you need a bigger building, we need.
So.
Cool.
Right, so some of the workshops will be held remotely, so again, to get people to get accustomed to the remote learning experience, but we would definitely love to be able to accommodate people who may not necessarily have easy access to like a laptop or whatever. So
I love that.
You know.
Cool, I love that. And Safiya, can you tell us, please, how to find your book? And by the way, Ollie, Safiya is coming back. For sure. So this is not the last thing for her. But you can still let us know, please, how to find your book. But you don't know, you got your back a million times.
Just make sure we pronounce your name right, ma'am. Can you pronounce it for us?
Safiya.
Okay.
Safiya Kamaria. So Safiya Kamaria Kinshasa. So you can, if you go to social media, so on Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter. At Safiya Kamaria, SafiyaKamaria. You can find out all about my tour. There was a link to where you can purchase the book, but I have heard the request of Bayesians. I know it is horrible to see Trinidad on the list and to not see Barbados. I know, don't get me. There is something very special coming. Don't worry. Got you. There is something very special coming. So cool. I am not leaving out Barbados. Okay. So keep a lookout on my social media, and the show, the book is coming, but obviously as it's dance in a book, it's not just going to be me reading. Yeah. So something will be coming to Barbados. So just keep a watch out. Yeah.
I love it. And Miss Amora, how can we find you? And I hope this is not your last we can speak for sure. And I guess think that you're brilliant, by the way. I just had to tell you that one. I think you're absolutely brilliant.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you can hit me up. If it's a casual inquiry, you could hit me up on Instagram, alyssa.amor. Mm-hmm. If it's something a little more serious, formal, mm-hmm. you want to collaborate or need some consulting, mm-hmm. you can send an email to hello@studio-amor.com. Nice. That's hello at studio, spelled studio, mm-hmm. dash amor, amor.com, mm-hmm. or just follow me on LinkedIn.
Correct. I absolutely love it. You know, today was brilliant, Ollie.
And for you, Sluggy, how do the people get in contact with you?
You can hear me every Saturday on VOB 92.9 FM. And if anybody there can't find me, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. You know where to find
me. And people who want to contribute and assist?
236-3534 first pair. 236-3534. Ollie, thank you for that. Actually, when I leave here now, we got three young mothers be helping out today. You know, I don't really talking about this on here because just do it for sure, but we got three young mothers helping out this evening. So you don't even have to send money. You know what I mean? They don't really care with money, you can send the food stuff. Once the food in that expire, because as you all know, Sluggy's extremely bad behaved. So if you send me expired food, you all know you get the full wrath. But if you want to donate cash and anybody the food, 236-3534, you could donate via First Pay, or you can send the items. And to be honest, Ollie, I don't speak about it because Barbados has really, really helped. You know what I mean? Like, you know, in the past, I would curse a lot, complain about the last 6-7 years. Once I see a bell, we need this for these mothers. Most of the time, I don't even have to go. I could call and see a bell, Alyssa need, you know what I mean, pampers for she baby, and they don't even have buy them. So, but if they me just send the address, they ain't going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got big up Barbados for that. I'm truly thankful. Safia, of course, you know, we can have lots more conversations. My sister, keep up the amazing work. I'm so proud of you, and keep pushing the envelope and keep giving those people hell. Let them know Barbados is heaven, you are hell. Alyssa, learn with Ally. Great work. It's quite admirable what you're doing for the Barbadian culture and community and our youth, and focusing on employment and increasing employment opportunities and training our person for free, Ollie. 16 to 35 years old, Ollie. We can end it beautiful. There, man. Come on, man. We can end it there. You know what I mean? Barbados, the nation's number one station. Every Saturday, I never dream I would get to work on a radio station. And I could say this, and it was the truth. You know, I used to say this a lot, Alyssa, like, just being real. You know, I used to fake it. But, you know, like, it's a known fact we are number one. And it feels so great to be alive to witness it. Boom.
People, a voice of a nation with something to say, reaching out to thousands of people all over the world every day. So take time and let us know what's on your mind. You'll find a voice at VOB. Oh yeah, turn on your radio from coast to shining coast. The voice of Barbados.
Hard. There you go. Massive six.
Hard. 95.3 FM. 25 and hotter than ever.
The hotter than ever celebrity charity T20 cricket match is happening on Saturday, March 11th. To get you ready for the action, the hotter than ever cricket road shows will be visiting communities across the island. Saturday, February 25th, stop number 2 bolts into Thalma's Bar and Grill, Riverland St. Philip from 8 p.m. to midnight. Get a chance to meet the players from the Starcom Network Conquer Alliance and Caribbean Connection as we prepare for the big showdown on March 11th. Music from the hottest DJs. Enjoy a karaoke competition. Food and drinks on sale. Don't get caught behind at the Wicked. Be at Thalma's Bar and Grill on February 25th from 8 p.m. The Hotter Than Ever Celebrity Charity Match is sponsored by the Student Revolving Loan Fund, Good Time Snacks, VOB 92.9 FM, The Beat 104.1 FM, Life 97.5 FM, and Hot 95.3 FM. 25 and hotter than ever.
Inogen Technologies is giving you the power to save. Invest in an Inogen system and enjoy reduced energy costs, earn additional income, and have electricity stored to keep life powered no matter the season. Call us at 228-2107 to book your free site visit or get additional information on Inogen systems and services. Inogen Technologies, giving you the power to save.
Subscribe to Your Nation ePaper today. Enjoy the convenience of having access anytime, anywhere in the world. On the move and need to know? Engage the Read to Me feature as you go. Having problems reading? Adjust the font size to your reading comfort. Missed a day? Access previous publications instantly. View live video footage, interviews, and more directly from your publication. Get all of this for as little as 82 cents a day. Download the Nation News app or visit nationnews.com and select subscribe now to start your experience. Contact us at subscribers@nationnews.com for additional information. Stay ahead, stay informed, stay with the source that you trust.
Let's talk business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI.
There is a concern about the continued rising of prices across, you know, various sectors of the supermarket. Since COVID, we started to see the increase in pricing due to, first of all, there was issues related to freight costs. Then there were supply chain challenges, so therefore the supply was not meeting the demand and therefore the prices went up.
This Monday at 2:30 p.m. on VOB 92.9 FM. Here are the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
The war in Ukraine, it really has shown how any destabilization of any one nation which is a part of that mix can create this domino effect.
Let's talk business on VOB 92.9 FM this Monday at 2:30 p.m. with the BCCI, brought to you by Yellow.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock in beautiful Barbados in the Eastern Caribbean. Coming up at 8, it's Smooth Sailing Saturdays with Captain Bubbler. Let's squeeze in a request or two. We're going to wish Corliss Weeks Grisette and her loving husband Pearson Grisette happy 17th wedding anniversary. All the best to Corliss and Pearson.
Hold you and touch you and make you my woman. I'll give you my love with sweet surrender. Tonight our hearts will beat as one, and I will hold you, touch you, make you my woman tonight.
There's something in your eyes I see, a pure and simple honesty.
Together. won't betray your trust in me.
Hold me in your arms tonight. Fill my life with pleasure. Let's not waste this precious time. Moments of treasure.
Music from Whitney Houston, Teddy Pendergrass. Gonna squeeze in one more request. Before the ship sets sail, with your captain Bubbler at the helm. Smooth Sailing Saturdays coming up at 8 o'clock.
Have you had your say? Well, don't be left out. You now have until 4 p.m. on Friday, April 14th to send your recommendations to the Constitutional Reform Commission. Email constitutionalreform@barbados.gov.bb or call the Constitutional Reform Commission's hotline at 536-1250 anytime and leave your concerns, views, and recommendations.
A message from the Barbados Government Information Service.
Tune into Living Sport, the show that delves into the lives of our sporting personalities. This week, hear from Randy Harris, a giant in the field of sports administration. Living Sport, this Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. on VOB 92.9 FM. 15 minutes of captivating engagement brought to you by the Calvary Institute, top of the class in education. Call us at 426-2337, WhatsApp 851-2109, or email Calvary Institute of Education at gmail.com.
Subscribe and win as a nation celebrates 50 years. Get a chance to be one of three weekly winners and win amazing prizes, including cash, vouchers, and a staycation for two. Look out for the entry form in your nation subscription delivery from February 26. Answer the question, what year did the nation newspaper start? Drop your entry form in the drop box at one of the identified outlets and get a chance to win. Competition runs from February 26 to April 7. Open to new or existing print subscribers. Subscribe today and win. Special terms and conditions apply. Call 430-5503-04 or email subscribers@nationnews.com for more information.
2 minutes before 8 o'clock, good evening to Miranda Dauting and her mom, Paulette Paris. Have a great evening.